ladies and gentlemen. Our guest coming up, but first a couple of news items. Sheriff Mack, welcome, sir. Wait a minute. You got to stay on this beautiful. Yes, it is, sir. Especially when we have the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered in the history of America to refer to in modern times, sir.
To reiterate something that I've spoken about quite a few times, but I don't think I've ever given the exact quote, the whole quote. The threat of arrest, and everybody needs to understand this, the Brady Bill, of which there were five of them to be passed one year after the other, the Brady Bill threatened to arrest sheriffs who simply refused to go along. For failure to comply, sheriffs were subject to arrest. And I'll read it. I'll quote it to you exactly how it reads in the Brady Bill. Not the Brady Law, but the Brady Bill, the act. Under a separate provision of the GCA. Now, people, it doesn't explain what the GCA is. That's the Gun Control Act of 1968. That was devised, obviously, pursuant to the assassinations of Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, and Robert Kennedy. Under a separate provision of the Gun Control Act, any person who knowingly violates the section of the GCA, the Gun Control Act, amended by the Brady Act, shall be fined under this title, imprisoned for no more than 1 year or both. And in the Brady Act itself, it says that the CLEO, the chief law enforcement officer of every county in the country, shall make a reasonable effort to conduct all these background checks and mental history checks. And this was way back in 1994, Sam. And people are acting like this doesn't exist, that we don't already have this, because that part was not stricken from during the Supreme Court decision. What was stricken is that they could not tell any sheriff or any state official what to do. This was called the Commandeering Act. And so the decision was the Anti-Commandeering Act, where they could not commandeer sheriffs for federal bidding. And that is so powerful, Sam, when you look at all the attacks on sheriffs in states and counties where they're trying to take away power from the sheriffs and give more control locally to the city councils and county commissioners to fire or suspend sheriffs when they don't do what they're told. That's why this is so huge historically.
Especially when we bring these points up and they say, oh, Sam, aren't you concerned about legal theories that you guys talk about? Wait a minute. Hold on. Legal theories. This is a Supreme Court decision in Richard Mack's favor, where Bill Clinton and others threatened to arrest the sheriffs. And the court said, no, you don't. You have no authority whatsoever. Now, how is that a legal theory, sir?
Well, it's not theory, it's fact. It came out that way, but it was fact before this happened. And that's why I was afraid that
and
if we
had
lost.
And it's fact after this occurs. Even if they think it's changed now, it's still fact, sir.
It is. And the office of sheriff reigns supreme, and he's completely independent in working for and answering to we the people. And that's what your theory people in the media don't get.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We thought we'd bring that to your attention. If you want to get a copy of the summary of the Supreme Court case win for Sheriff Mack over Bill Clinton, all you got to do is go to CSPOA.org. It's very inexpensive. I suggest you order a couple of hundred of them and give them to your best friends everywhere, including your county sheriff, ladies and gentlemen, all public officials. Amen. That you can just spread the love, if you will, because it is a tremendous win in America. And what we need to do is make sure that it's a repeated win, meaning that we use this Supreme Court case as we battle overreach and others who want to pretend that they have ultimate authority when they literally, factually do not. Hey, Sheriff, will the screenwriter strike in Hollywood shut down Hollywood? We can only pray so.
I don't care. I really don't care.
If there's no Hollywood stuff, maybe a lot of Americans could focus on more important things, Sheriff.
Well, we could make our own movies, and we could do the Sheriff Mac documentary and put that out there. So,
yeah, we just need to fundraise and get the cash. That's the other problem.
Right.
Hollywood needs cash, and so do we. But I
for somebody who really likes movies. Yes, for sure.
Go ahead. For somebody that likes movies like you.
Yeah, so for somebody who likes movies as much as me, I'll tell you what, I have complete disdain for Hollywood and the people that have tried to change America with their woke agenda and their CRT and all this other crap. I like movies, but I don't hardly care for any of the actors. John Voight, he's a good guy. I like him.
All right, there you have it. Is Tucker actually still on Fox News payroll? Megyn Kelly reveals Tucker not actually fired from Fox yet. Here's the clip.
I'm in termination and have a lot of thoughts about it. I think, break some news for you. Tucker Carlson hasn't actually been fired. He's still an employee of the Fox News Channel. What happened was Suzanne Scott called him. She's the CEO on Monday morning and said he was not going to be allowed to do any more shows and that he had been kicked out of his company email. And now they're going to have to negotiate an exit. Some reporting to me suggests that she said it's going to be an amicable parting. Right, isn't it? completely catching Tucker off guard. But Tucker's not fired. That's my information, that he still needs to negotiate the exit and that right now he's not free to launch a podcast or a digital show or negotiate with other employers at all because he's still under contract. They pulled his show off the air. They also fired his executive producer, Justin Wells. And though he tried to find out why, they wouldn't tell him. They refused to tell him why. I mean, to me, that's just so disheartening. He's been at the company for years. He'd been in the prime time for 7 years and saw Fox News through one of the most difficult times in its history, the immediate era post Roger Ailes, where they didn't know left from right. They didn't know up from down.
So Bill O'Reilly left, Megyn Kelly left, Tucker on his broad shoulders carried the network forward in incredible fine fashion. So you got to wonder, what does all that mean? Does that mean they're trying to tie his hands and shut him down between now and 2024 after the elections? Relating specifically to you can't run, you can't do anything because you're under contract with us, but you're not on the air? I think if Tucker gets hard-nosed about this, he could sue and actually win. They supposedly have a non-compete clause, but how well will that work when you have a right to make a living? And if they're going to shut him down from every aspect, including speaking out about the elections and or running for office, at some point it becomes election fraud by Fox, if you're not very careful as well. Sheriff Mack, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think Tucker, especially when it came to January 6th, really exposed a great deal of information that most people on the left and the right, well, depends on what you call the right, but the right as Mitt Romney's and others that are rhinos and don't really care about the Constitution and don't care about the truth. The police officer, the Capitol police officer that was supposedly killed by someone hitting him in the head with a fire extinguisher was not true. And Tucker Carlson prove that. And yet they still have it on his death certificate that he was murdered. And the truth of the matter is Tucker told the truth. And people don't like that. who especially have already the agenda out there and have been lying for 2 or 3 years, they don't like that. And Tucker took a lot of heat for that. And if there was any real reason that he was fired, I believe it was that issue alone. But yeah, of course he's fired. He's not able to do a show anymore. That's the firing. That he's still taking some money? Well, of course. And Fox doesn't care about dishing out money to people like crazy, especially to Dominion, which they should have fought. But Fox is wimpy, and they're a go-along mainstream company. And every now and again, like Judge Napolitano and Tucker Carlson, you get people on there who want to tell the truth, and they're allowed to do their own shows. But if you cross the line, then into truth areas that you're not supposed to go to, then they'll get rid of you.
One of the things that saved Tucker for so long is that he didn't use the words communist conspiracy for America. And if you don't cross that line, they'll leave you alone. But when you start talking about God too much, Sheriff, remember the communist conspiracy is a godless agenda. Tucker talked a lot about God. He said, this is not a political battle. This is not a right-left paradigm. This is a spiritual battle. And this is good versus evil. And you must pray. Learn to pray, Tucker said. That is what got him fired, in my humble opinion. But now people are asking the questions, did Ukrainian President Zelensky get Murdoch to fire Tucker Carlson? Interesting question. And then the next question is this: does Zelensky's government, have they created a quote blacklist of Americans who they believe need to simply shut up? That's kind of the next question for you. Very interesting as foreign governments continue to have greater sway on the Biden administration, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. So yeah, I think a very solid point to start the show today with.
Speaking of that, our border is a critical issue. Mexico seeming to get more bold, more militant, more et cetera, et cetera. The border, as far as we understand, calling down to discuss the border with certain people, they say, what border? There's not even really a border anymore. As you know, it's been going south for quite some time. Thus, our guest, Sheriff Mack, you want to do the honors?
Yeah, thank you, Sam. We have Zapata County Sheriff, which is right on the border. Raymond Del Bosque is with us today. He's been to several of our CSPOA conferences and news conferences and training seminars. And he and I really hit it off, and we've become very good friends. And Sheriff Del Bosque, welcome to the Sheriff Mack Show. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, Sheriff. How are you? Thank you for having
me. Doing really well. Yeah, doing really well. I'm grateful that you're here. And you're kind of off center of your computer. Do you want to stay that way? We get to see your beautiful office. No, you're good there. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah,
there you go. Now, but we want to see your face. We also want to ask you this. So the allegations and information that I'm getting from the border are, you know, what border? It leaks like a sieve. There's really no border anymore. What do you say? Is that overstated, Sheriff?
Well, the way you look at it, with the influx of immigrants crossing over, there is nowhere to draw the line right now because of all this activity happening all across the border at this time.
Title 42 was promoted by Donald. Title 42 has been around since, 1944? It got kind of modified a couple of times since. Donald tried to use it to stop people when Corona was hot and heavy. The COVID, now Biden is supposed to be getting rid of Title 42 in just a few days, right?
Actually, it'll be May 11th, supposedly is the due date for Title 42 to be lifted. It'll be May 11th.
Is that going to be disaster on steroids, sir?
On steroids times 1,000, I believe. It'll be disaster.
Sheriff Mack, respond to this, Sheriff Mack.
Well, the sheriffs know what's going on the border. That's where Sheriff Del Bosque's from. He knows what's going on there. He knows that the cartels have been involved with election fraud. It was happening in his county, as he reported to us 6, 7, 8 months ago. But Sheriff Del Bosque, I've got to ask you a question and see if you agree with this. About 4 or 5 years ago, I was teaching high school, and I went to a seminar on economics at the University of Arizona. And there was 8 professors from Mexico who taught in various, who taught in various colleges and universities throughout Mexico. And I was in a van with them going, being transported to our location on the University of Arizona. And I asked them this question, and I want to know if you agree with this. I asked them, to what percentage do the cartels run the government of Mexico? And all of them answered at the same time and gave the same answer. And they said 100%. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yes, I do. I do agree with that assessment from those professors. I mean, they're living it. And, you know, a lot of the smaller border counties get a lot more of this border violence spillover from Mexico. Mm-hmm. And we have to resort to the federal and state resources and ask for help because we're getting overrun.
Well, and here's the problem with that, though. As far as I understand, the federal resources are not going to help you. Joe's in bed with the cartels for the most part. Maybe not in a literal sense, but certainly by his turn the other way and ignore the issue. But the Mexican state and the military under President, I think it's Obrador, is how you say it, Obrador, in their leadership, they say that they will defend Mexico's criminal drug cartels and trafficking cartels from the Americans. In other words, they're not going to work with us. They're not going to say that the state of Mexico and the state of the United States, in other words, the governments are going to work against the drug cartels and the trafficking cartels. They're literally in bed with them in Mexico, and they will defend. If the American people have our government try to push back, they will consider us the enemy and protect the cartels. There's been talk of the U.S. military assisting in Mexico to try to stop drug cartels, and President Obrador says, not happening for us. Sheriff, that to me is a serious, serious problem, because if you're not careful, we're going to have a war on our border. Or do we already have one? Sheriff?
The war's already happening. It's happening in Mexico, and the spillover is coming to the U.S. Now, a lot of the border sheriffs, if not all the border sheriffs, and the Texas sheriffs, along with the major county sheriffs and the National Sheriffs Association, we've gotten together and we have pushed through a sheriff's alliance team that will call out for eradication of all these cartels trying to infiltrate our counties, our cities, and our state.
Now, if we believe the testimony in Arizona, Sheriff Mack, they basically said the drug cartels literally control Arizona. They basically say that, look, via money, houses, laundering of cash, etc., virtually everyone is compromised. The subcommittee listened to testimony on that with evidence, etc. Nothing's happening. Does that prove the point, Sheriff Mack?
Well, it's definitely evidentiary pudding cooking. There's no question. How far the cartel influence goes into Arizona is still remains to be seen, but it's definitely here, and they're definitely set up here just like they are in Texas. So one sheriff, tell everybody where Zapata County is. Where in how far east is it, and how big is how long is your county's border to Mexico?
Well, Zapata County is 1,058 square miles of rough terrain and 80 miles of waterfront with the Rio Grande and Lake Falcon adjoining the state of Tamaulipas in Mexico.
Now, and is McAllen, Texas, in your county?
No, sir. McAllen, McAllen is in Hidalgo County. That would be the area of Sheriff Eddie Guerra.
Okay, because I've been to McAllen before, but I don't think I made it to your county, but I'm still going to.
The way it is, how wide? Go ahead.
I was going to say, how widespread do you think this is? We know that the governor of Texas, I mean, he has a lot of lip service, but not a lot of action. We know that Joe Biden literally is derelict in his duty, so the administration a problem. Joe came down kind of around Christmas time or whatever, knowing full well that that was where the when the border was not, I don't know what you want to call it, under assault or under siege so much. It was kind of the lighter time because of winter and this kind of stuff. Joe went there, had a couple of photo ops, but didn't really dig in and get to the bottom of the issue at all. He's completely innocent or ignorant, I should say. Either that or he completely knows and wants to pretend ignorance. Don't know. Either way, how widespread is this problem? If we got rid of Joe, does it solve the problem? Or is this the federal government in general is an enemy about the border? The reason I ask this question is because it's shocking to me how it can get this bad, how governors can literally bus people north to other places. They claim they're overwhelmed, but yet nothing gets done. We're at a stalemate on the border as the problem escalates into literally war zone problems. When we come back, the good sheriff will tell us the details. All I can tell you is this is scary. Zabata Sheriff on your TV, Raimundo Del Bosque.
Riots, recession, food prices, gas prices, violation of our liberties. These issues are keeping Americans awake at night. Sleepless nights aren't good for your health. Millions are suffering from sleep gap disorder. I'm Dr. Steve Hodgson, and I have a natural solution to overcome this dreaded sleep gap disorder, my proprietary sleep formula. One capsule of sleep formula will help you achieve a great night's sleep for as little as 75 cents per night. Visit our website, physicianspreferencevitamins.com, and enter the promo code SLEEPNOW. It's hard to stand up against tyranny when you're tired. Pray for our country and get a good night's sleep.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Hodgson. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you fed up with your doctor giving you drugs simply to mask your symptoms rather than treating the cause? As you age, I believe you should be brimming with energy, vitality, and enthusiasm for life. The Hodgson Health and Wellness Center treats individuals from all over the country and world in an environment of extraordinary hospitality. We specialize in the treatment of allergies, yeast, replenishing natural hormones, vitamin and mineral supplementation, and a healthy eating lifestyle, all of which boost your immune system, increase your energy level, and your health span. If you'd like to obtain and maintain health and wellness naturally without pharmaceutical drugs, then contact one of our wellness consultants today at 281-698-8698 or visit HOTCHWC.com and request a free copy of my best-selling book, Hormones, Health, and Happiness.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest, Zabata County, Texas Sheriff Raimundo Del Bosque with us. And I asked the question right before the pause, how widespread is this? Is Joe just derelict in his duty? Is it the general government? Is it the state? Is Governor Abbott not doing enough? Because critics are saying, hey, Abbott's not doing enough to address the border crisis. Sheriff?
Well, I have to correct you on that. Sheriff Abbott is doing everything in his power to help all border sheriffs, and especially listening to the smaller counties that have been left in the dark for so many years. Governor Abbott has helped them with resources in Zapata County, I can speak for my county, sending the National Guard, Texas military resources, has helped us get funding to get equipment and patrol cars. So Governor Abbott is doing everything in his power to help us border sheriffs, along with a few of our other state officials and federal officials, excuse me. Ryan Guillen has also been helping tremendously, and Congressman Henry Cuellar. They all been assets to helping what's happening here on the border. So I believe these critics are not getting the whole insight of who's helping and who's not.
Very well.
All right,
very
Sheriff well Mack, many you. Are saying that the governor's got a good start, but he doesn't go far enough is kind of the point. Sheriff Mack?
Well, I think he's got some criticism, and rightfully so, by sending illegal aliens to New York and other places. I don't think he should be transporting them. It was a great political statement to New York and Chicago and other places, but I don't think he should be doing that. If he wanted to bus them somewhere, he should bus them back to Mexico. But anyway, it's a huge problem. I'm really glad to hear about the alliance that has been formed down in Texas with the border sheriffs. And tell us a little bit more about that, Sheriff. Just recently, there was a border county sheriff meeting. How many sheriffs were there, and what did you guys accomplish?
We had a record number of sheriffs showing up from different associations and coalitions, all from the steaming from the national sheriffs to the Texas border sheriffs, Arizona sheriffs, the Western State Sheriffs Association, which I'm also part of, and the Sheriffs Association of Texas. We were all there meeting in McAllen, and we were looking at different views, and the governor showed up. So he let us know that he's supporting us and backing us up 100%. And what he does is he pays attention and listens to us. You know, there's a lot of people that just like to talk about the border, but then they don't pay attention or listen to us, what we need. And what is it that we need to do? A lot of the Border Patrol chiefs were also present, which they did pay attention. And we drew in some good conversation, what each of us need in different counties around the state of Texas and the border, because everybody's experiencing the same thing, but at different levels, all the way from Cameron County all the way to El Paso. Every situation is different. And the number of immigrants and the influx is different. My guys might be chasing guys throughout the day on the highway and the brush, while in the port of entries, you know, a lot of the sheriffs are having problems with so many people trying to get across all at once. So it's just a roller coaster effect on different counties. And what we're experiencing is just fascinating.
Do you think America will get a handle on it, or do you think it'll just flat out destroy the country? Because every county in America is becoming a border county now, as, you know, even Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis and even the so-called, you know, conservatives literally take immigrants instead of deporting them like they ought to. They ship them all over the country. I guess it's to supposedly make the liberals feel the pain, but what it really means is every county becomes a border county, Sheriff Del Bosque.
Well, he's been saying that for a long time, and I'm with the governor saying, you know, every sheriff is a border sheriff, because when you look at it, the cartels are infiltrating all small towns, mom and pop businesses, and they're infiltrating places that we've never seen or heard of, which are these small towns that need the most help, like my town in Zapata County.
And Sheriff, if you could actually speak with Mr. Mayorkas, what would you want to tell him? If you had a face-to-face with him, he's been on the news a lot lately. He was called a liar by some people. What would you say to Mr. Mayorkas if he were sitting in your office right now?
I would say to him, he took an oath, and the oath was to the men and women and the citizens of the United States to protect us and to serve us at all times. The collaboration between state and federal agencies is very crucial at this time. It's needed 100%, and he needs to be here up front where all this is happening, which is right here on the border, so he can see the impact and the hard work that all of our men and women are going through, and what it is to be a border sheriff and a border deputy protecting these communities. You know, my respects to Border Patrol and all the other agencies that, you know, they're just doing their job and following orders. But, you know, if we were all on the same page, we would be grabbing hold of all this situation that's happening.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you. Point your camera down just a little bit more. Just point it, pull it down just a little bit. There you go. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, Sheriff, but I want to be very clear though. So you're basically saying, hey, Governor Abbott's doing a great job. And the problem lies elsewhere. Does it lie just with the general government, or are there other problems elsewhere? Like, why can't we get a handle on this?
Well, you know, just like everything, the commander in chief starts at the top with the president. And I think if he were just to put his foot down and listen to us, Texas sheriff, along with all national sheriffs, what's going on, we can make an impact and turn this thing around. Governor Abbott, that's all he's trying to do. He's protecting his community, his state, you know, and all these communities that need the help. You know, I'm still driving a 2010 Ford F-250 because I'm passing on new units to my guys because they were driving 2008 vehicles. So, you know, he sees that the need for resources is there, and we need it. We have a Camp Kelly here that they provide resources and boats for our lake and river. We don't have boats yet until now. Governor Abbott has helped us acquire two boats. You know, we're going to meet with some people from DPS who are our great state partners that are helping us in the brush, do the criminal trespass law, take these people into custody, and protect our community. So Governor Abbott, 100% with him. The president, no bueno, not too good.
All right. What about the discussion of deportment? Because I know a lot of folks aren't really pushing for deportment enough. What they want to do is, you know, work with the government or whatever. We arrest them. We want to do something. The government just simply gets a hold of it and then releases them. But you know what? Unless we start doing deportments, it'll only slow down the revolving door, which ultimately leads to Border Patrol just simply releasing illegal aliens into our communities. It's not enough. Is basically the point.
Well, I believe these great men and women in green are just following orders. I mean, they know what's right and what's wrong, and they also have an oath, but they also have their commanders in chiefs that send down orders. So I don't think our Border Patrol, our boots on the ground are to blame. They're just following orders from their commanders in chiefs, and they need to follow the orders because that's what's given on paper. But I think, you know, if being down to being an American citizen, we know and we feel in our heart what needs to be done to protect the USA.
Sheriff Mack, what do you think about just following orders?
Well, obviously he's correct in some respects. They don't do what they're told, they get fired. But the thing of it is, the president of the United States is the CEO and commander in chief. And so that kind of makes it like it's a war at the border. And Sheriff DeBosque already mentioned it is very much like a war at the border. And so their hands are tied a little bit. And so it is Mayorkas and it is Biden. And they have refused to do their jobs. Some people even call it treason, what they're doing at the border. And if you look at the amount of human trafficking and child sexual exploitation and the amount of drugs that are coming into our country, it's an all-time high. And Biden and Mayorkas know it, and they're doing nothing about it. And that can reach to the level of treason, and I think it is. But otra vez, Sheriff, what would you tell Mayorkas that they need to do at the border? What is the number one thing that they need to implement at the border right now to stem this, to stop it, to turn it around? What does the Border Patrol working with the sheriffs, what do they need to do at the border to number one thing that they need to do at the border to turn it around?
What we need is a unified collaboration and communication between state and federal agencies. That's what we need. We need to hold arms together and stand up for this and for what is right to protect America. And, you know, I've always said it's not a blue issue or a red issue. It's a red, white, and blue. And we all live here. Right. Our number one thing and our number one priority is the safety and the security of our kids and our citizens. So all of us need to stand together and firm. And all of us united need to build this wall and protect the USA from all this violence and influx of immigrants coming in from these other countries.
So you really like the idea of implementing the wall and rebuilding that all across from California to Texas?
What I believe right now, it's all these law enforcement agencies to stand together and work on a physical and digital wall and a unified wall together so we can protect the USA at all times.
Very well
said. What about the John Ferguson solution with basically these unmanned drones on the border that could coordinate and bring intelligence via these sensors and everything else to the table and stuff like that? That could have a huge impact for good as well, right?
Was that for me or Sheriff Mack?
Sheriff Mack first, I guess, and then Sheriff DeBosque.
Well, we obviously had that guy on, and I like it, but it will only work if there's people on the ground that the information can get to say, right, here, take them. If they just are spotting people going across the Rio Grande or going into some of the wooded areas and the desert areas, but there's nobody there on the ground to take care of them, then it's just an open door policy. But I don't know, what do you think, Sheriff?
Well, again, we go to communication. If we cannot communicate with the drones and advise them and give them the intel of what's happening on the ground and where to go, where the hotspots are, you know, it's not going to serve a purpose. When the federal government had the aerostats here in Zapata County and some other counties, I'm speaking for Zapata, of course, you know, the impact was great. You know, it was a force multiplier to where my guys depended on that while we could cover other terrain that was never, you know, patrolled by, because we could get away and reach further areas and patrol and, you know, arrest these people that were crossing illegally and refer them to Border Patrol, of course, and working the criminal trespass initiative with Governor Abbott and DPS. That's also a force multiplier because, you know, we're able to send them to the processing centers and get them out of the county. My priority is Zapata County, and that's number one for me.
That's what it should be. That's exactly right.
I agree that the John Ferguson solution is going to take coordination from the government, but I think if state officials literally work with John Ferguson and they literally have these sensors and drones monitoring the border with real reporting, deriving incredible feedback and intel for the Border Patrol and the county sheriffs, I think that may be one of the grand solutions. Sheriff Del Bosque, what do you think? Is that possible?
Yes, that's some of the solutions, but with everything costs money. And drones, you know, the system, software. I'd rather have patrol cars and equipment for my guys to be wearing than to have something flying around that's not going to protect my guys at all times. Now, if you want to award drones and the software to my county to better protect it in the digital fashion, I'll receive it with open arms. But if it's going to come out of my budget and, you know, it's going to be very expensive. I know it's a very expensive equipment that's going to take a lot of money and a lot of funds from our county.
Good point.
Well, there you have it. I don't know what we, the American people, could do, Sheriff DeBosque. You know, I'm not on the border. I'm in Utah. But I do care. It is an issue that matters to me. I'd like to bring support and help. I have no idea what I can do, though. I just feel like, you know what, eventually my county is going to be overrun. And you know what, I'm fine with those who want to come for a better life. I'm fine with those who really want to bring their families and dream the American dream and who come for liberty. How do we separate the good guys from the bad guys, be a welcoming country, but deal with it in a at a level that we can handle? In other words, we can't just be overrun. If I have $1 million in my bank account and I stand on the LA streets and give a dollar away to everybody that passes by, pretty soon I won't have any resources. We've got to somehow kind of come to our senses on this discussion. I think the problem is we're too busy bickering in America, and we can't even come to the common sense that, hey, all people are not equal. There are good people that want to come here. There are people that are here illegally, but you know what? They're not bad people. They may have come as children. That's totally different than the bad guy coming across the border that's a communist Chinese operative on the government's dime and control into America. How do we separate all that out and get kind of an understanding? We got to do that before we can work together, right?
Well, you know, there's a lot of jobs that you or I would not do, and that's cultivating the land, building houses, putting roofs, you know, the really, really rough workman's trades that these people do. They come over here, yes, to find a job and to help. And it does help the economy, but they got to do it right. There's a proper way and there's the wrong way. And what's happening right now is the wrong way. And the president and Mayorkas need to come to their senses and realize that what they're doing is wrong. What they're doing is totally turning their back on the American people and the border sheriffs, and they're not helping out at all, because letters and letters have been sent to both of them, and we have not gotten our response back. And I feel that, you know, being totally ignored by our commander-in-chief and Secretary Mayorkas is very uncalled for and very unethical and unprofessional on their part.
Wow, there's a huge indictment there. But, you know, you said something very powerful. It's not a red and blue issue. It's a red, white, and blue issue. And I really admire you for that. And I know that there's some politics involved in this. And one of them is this. This came out, and I've actually said it before. I have said that Joe Biden is carrying the water for the Democrat Party, who wants the illegal aliens to come into the country, because within a few months or a few years, they're all going to be registered, or most of them are going to be registered as Democrats, and it's going to give them a monopoly across the country of a voter block that's what they're trying to do. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that that is true? And is that really the underlying purpose of how having the illegal aliens infiltrate America?
Well, for the most part, I feel, in my opinion, that is true. What I believe is, you know, running a fair election is far from it in every county, because, you know, people have grown into, that's the way it needs to be. That's the way it is. They cannot be a more fair election anymore. These people, they're people infiltrating, you know, our polls, you know, people wanting certain candidates in office for all the wrong reasons, you know, and it's for their benefit. And even in small counties like mine, it is happening. It is happening. And basically, when you try to fix it, which that is what I'm trying to do, you're the most hated. You know why? Because a lot of the people that are filling their pockets are the ones benefiting it from the opposing candidate coming into office. So I believe we need to take a stand against voter fraud, and everybody needs help in this, including myself in my county. And we need to stick together and communicate with people that want to help out during our elections as well.
Very powerful statement. Very powerful. Thank you,
Sheriff. What can we do, Sheriff Mack? What do we the people do about this? I mean, there's nothing I can really do except just wait and be overrun.
Well, the American people need to listen to what Sheriff DeBosca just said. And I really hope this gets out. Because they have, as he said, Mayorkas and Biden have turned their backs on the American people. But the political side of that is that they're both carrying the water for the Democrat Party, and they're trying to build this monopoly of votes. And they're willing to take some of the political heat for all these horrible things that are going on in our country, not just at the border, but this is affecting our entire country, especially when you look at the fentanyl and how many there's enough fentanyl now in America to kill every man, woman, and child 10 times over. And who still would take this stuff? What worries me is that they're going to start putting it in foods and waters and water systems and so on, because anybody in their right mind is not going to take fentanyl because it is so deadly, and that's getting out there. But people are still doing it, and the overdoses are happening. Sheriff, thank you so much for your wisdom today. Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, you got to fight this, deal with fentanyl.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Zapata County, Texas, Sheriff Raimundo Del Bosque with us today, the Sheriff Mac Show.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Back to you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman finishing out the hour. As you know, TV and radio don't line up perfectly, so we start at 00 on TV, and we don't start till 5 after on the radio. Then TV ends at about 52 after, and we don't end till the end of the hour on radio. So I always deal with a slight adjustment and kind of recap some of the things we talked about. Incredible TV hour simulcast on Liberty Roundtable Live with the good Sheriff Richard Mack, myself, and Zapata County Texas Sheriff Raimundo Del Bosque. He was with us. ZapataCountyTX.com to learn more about him and what he's doing. And we really talked in detail about the border, folks. You know what? The Mexican state and the military, under President Alvaro's leadership, will defend Mexico's, quote, criminal cartels from the Americans. So, you know what? We think traditionally that, hey, Mexican government's good guys, United States government, good guys, bad guys are the cartels, the traffickers, and that the two governments can work together to say, no, we're not going to allow this to occur on our, that's not right. The Mexican government, led by the president of Mexico, Obrador, Obrador. I don't know how to say it. I don't speak Spanish. Anyway, this guy, he'll work with the Mexican drug cartels more than the United States government. And at first you say, that's preposterous, Sam, that can't be true. But my response to all of you is this. If our governments were truly together, they could stop the drug cartels and would solve the border problem. But when both governments, the United States government led by Joe Biden, and when the Mexican president, they both want drug cartels. They want sex trafficking. They partner with this stuff. They fund and fuel and look the other way and everything else for this stuff. And so don't be surprised when it continues to grow. And now, even if folks want to double down and help the Mexican government stop the drug trafficking and the sex trafficking and the cartels and the criminal element and the gang element, they're not going to stop it. Mexico will not go along. Mexican state led by the president will oppose the Americans. They will defend the criminal cartels against the Americans. So, folks, we have an unsolvable problem at the border, and it's going to get much, much, much worse. Critics are saying that, hey, Governor Abbott in Texas not doing enough on the border, not doing enough to address the border crisis. Okay. Kinney County attorney, guy's name is Brent Smith, he was the first to issue a county disaster declaration over the border crisis. He said the governor's plan was a good start, but it doesn't go far enough. Okay, Abbott's policies simply don't include deportation and only slow down the, quote, revolving door, which ultimately leads to border patrols releasing illegal aliens into our communities, Smith said. That's not acceptable. Kinney County will not release our prisoners to the Border Patrol if that results in them being released back into the public. We will deport them ourselves. Kinney County's message to the governor, to Governor Abbott, is lead, follow, or get out of the way. Get the hell out of the way, they say. Now, they're not going to go along with this. Well, you know, there's debates on the border. Nobody can agree on what needs to be done. That's the hardcore stance by Kinney County. Other sheriffs feels like, hey, Governor Abbott's doing a good job. He's being circumvented by the federal government. That's the real problem. And until we get the federal government and all government agencies coordinated and working together, we won't solve the problem. I bring up the John Ferguson Saxon drone solution. But they say, you know what? We're not even willing to use our budget dollars for that. It won't do enough. It's not worth it. I'd rather put our money into other things, say Del Bosque and other sheriffs. I'm not here to pick sides on this. I'm here to report and say, wow, I don't know how best to handle this problem. I really thought that John Ferguson's drone solution, providing intel for the sheriff's departments and sheriff's offices, were the way to go. Because I felt like, man, if you could get 30 times magnified cameras, you could know ahead of time, before your officers get there, what they're encountering. You could also, in real time, know where you need to be, when and how, and etc. I believe it would be a great protection to the people out in the field. But again, I'm not a border expert. I don't know everything about it. Now, I get that it's expensive, but expensive is a relative term. Now, if you had to pay a couple of hundred grand for each of these drones, and you need 10, 15 of them to monitor your border, you know, hey, $10, $15 million? To run the thing, is that really expensive compared to what's happening to our country and the funding of illegals that we're doing now? I'm telling you right now, the deep state's against us all. And I said, is there a war on the border? Del Bosque said it's a war in Mexico that's spilling across our border. Will that war just continue to roll north? What do we the people do, huh? Well, we got enough internationally to worry about. We got enough on our own home front as well. Next hour, Ammon Bundy battling with hospitals, battling with his own local governments. Are they any better than your general government? Or are they all gone criminal? All right, Sam Bushman on your radio. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.